Yeah, so the mouth is real moist for this now.
Welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here listening to me, Pete, and along with me are Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
There we go. And as usual, we'll be taking you through the news, the new releases and some reviews and a bit of what we've been playing. And our feature this week is going to be talking about microtransactions. Eddie?
You all right?
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about microtransactions?
All right. Is that how it works? Because it was my suggestion. It's like mine, is it? Is
this? Well, you've been playing the relevant game. You've been playing the relevant
is
game.
My baby? All right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's your like baby. to be put on the spot like that. Our feature this week is about microtransactions. So basically, we're going to be talking about a few things around it. So should they be allowed in games, really? Should they be banned from competitive player versus player games? And then we'll touch upon, is it gambling? And then we'll look at the relevant games to do with it. So yeah, it'll be a good chat, because I know that I think a few of us have got different views on it. So
I'd be shocked by that. That never happens.
But you know, we're all quite tame about voicing our opinions, so obviously it'll be quite you know, low-key and tame and boring.
Always low-key. I look forward to a low-key feature. That's nice.
Yeah, low-key. Nice and calm, collective.
Right, if you're about to shut up, then shall we crack on with the news?
I generally thought, oh, fucking hell, what do I have to say here? I was like, yeah. All right, I'll say the basics.
Apparently, that's too long.
No.
I, what I think is that Eddie's done a good summary there. And I think Pete could learn a thing or two about Eddie's summary there. Because Pete just rolls on into the news. Ben, you hit shovel pass straight away to the news. Doesn't really say much for that feature, but Eddie, you smashed it. You smashed it, mate.
To be fair, Eddie, actually, to give you credit there, when I did that to Ben in the first episode, he just went, oh, yeah, news, and ignored the feature completely, despite coming up with the idea himself.
You did smash that.
Right,
change his tune now. Siding with the powerful.
With the news now.
okay, news, right. The Game Awards is approaching. On the 10th of December is the Game Awards now. That could be overshadowed by some big release that's coming out that day. and maybe nobody may watch the Game Awards as a result. But nonetheless, Game Awards is up, and you can vote for different aspects from the player point of view, because I think every category has a contribution from the audience, so we can all vote online, and that makes up part of the panel that votes. So
yeah,
it's all to do with media outlets and everything. But yeah, that you can contribute, you can vote, so you can go onto the website thegameawards.com, and you can vote for the various categories. So I thought it would be prudent for us to just go through a couple of those categories that might appeal to us. just to outline what the main kind of competitors are there. So the first one is obviously the game of the year, and in the running at the moment is Ghost of Tsushima.
Yep.
The Last of Us 2. The Mighty Hades, which I banged on about in the first week.
You did indeed.
Doom Eternal, which is now on Game Pass, so anybody can really have a bash at.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing, which I think saved a lot of people's sanity during the first half of lockdown.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy VII, the remake.
Yes, indeed.
So they're the big ones. I mean, I know a lot of those are console dominant and PS4 dominant, so you guys haven't really sampled many of them, like Last of Us 2, etc. You guys didn't really check out.
No, I didn't.
I mean, I've still voted, because I've done my research on all of them, and I know I felt bad because part of me wanted Animal Crossing to vote for that, because I'm a big fan of those games. I've got it's a bit sad saying this, especially as someone who considers himself a professional gamer, but I play Heyday on my phone a lot.
Okay.
Heyday.
Heyday. You ever played it?
Oh, is that like a Would that be like a Harvest Moon kind of game? Like
It's pretty much as identical to it. And also I've got Stardew Valley. I've played a lot of that, which is very similar to Animal Crossing. So, but no, I've gone for Ghosts only because it looks fantastic.
I had to go for Ghost as well.
Oh, you did?
Did you both go for Ghost? Now,
you went
Hades,
I assume, Ben.
No, surely Last of Us.
Yeah, I went for the Last of Us too. I think we'll do some commentary on this after the Game Awards. So next week we'll do a full rundown of kind of the big hitters that won and what we think of them. But as far as I'm concerned, based on our conversation that we had last week, really, The Last of Us 2. Really, it fits all the categories for me for an epic game, and the narrative was absolutely superb. And my second probably would have been Hades. Now, interestingly, Ghosts never really appealed to me because samurais don't appeal to me. So I never played Sekiro either, like the FromSoft game Sekiro, game of the year last year. And you'd think it'd be right up my alley because I love Souls games. I've never played Sekiro.
That is odd.
Just doesn't appeal to me. Like,
it's very strange.
I don't get it. But Hades, I think Hades is well deserved to be in that category. But I think, as Eddie says, there is a strong argument that Animal Crossing should be Game of the Year because of what it did.
I think it should be. Exactly. The first lockdown as well. I mean, how many people, you know, I mean, for example, I know a lot of non-gamers who downloaded it, played it, and it really helped them out. Because let's be honest, lads, for us gamers, hardcore gamers, I'm not being funny, lockdown one was a piece of piss. Absolutely fucking loved it.
Yeah,
honestly, agreed. Every day waking up, I've been furloughed. Boris on the fucking radio going, thank you for all those people in furlough. I know it's not hard. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm fucking putting in 10 hours of gaming. My missus come home and said, what have you been doing? You know what I've been doing.
I've been gaming, and I've been listening to Boris on the wireless.
Congratulating me for gaming. Now, but for the people that aren't used to that and go like, I need to go outside and socialise and stuff, fucking idiots, then Animal Crossing came in and helped them. So, yeah, part of me kind of wants them to win.
My See, God, funny it shifted Switch systems. It really was a system seller.
The funny one for me is I think the one that, and obviously this should sound controversial, I didn't really think Final Fantasy VII Remake should be on that list.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not a new game.
Yeah.
Well, it is for all intents and purposes, I'll grant you that. But they don't really have to do that much work with plot or narrative.
But they did.
They
did tremendous amounts. I kind of agree with the sentiment, but not in this case. It was a complete...
Oh, but don't get me wrong, it's a masterwork. But it's just, I don't know, there's something about it of remakes.
Two very different things,
I think. It is a masterpiece of a game. I just don't think it belongs there.
But I get what you're saying. It's taken a well-trodden path and it's done a reimagining of it. But they really added so much into it. I mean, they made what was essentially the first 5 hours of the first game into a 30-hour game.
Yeah, separate game. Yeah.
that is quite considerably more than was ever put into the first one.
Hugely so, yes. It just still doesn't sit right for me.
Well, what doesn't... I mean, I don't think it should be on that list in any normal year, but I think we didn't have that many great games this year, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
So it goes onto that list. I mean, the fact that Doom Eternal is on that list... Don't get me wrong, I like Doom. I loved the first Doom.
What, as in the first, as in fucking decades
no,
ago?
No, I mean Doom 2016, the one before this one.
Jesus, Ben.
No. People get that. It's the first of the new ones. This newest one, Doom Eternal, is the same engine. It's the same, you know, it's made by the same people as Doom 2016. That's the big thing. So I have Doom Eternal. It's a good game. I mean, it's Doom. It's the same as Doom 2016, but just hyped up. But the one that stands out to me is The Last of Us. It just had everything. It was fantastic. But Hades deserves to be on the list. So
agreed.
So that was that. The other ones that I thought might interest you two, based on our conversation last week, the best narrative. 13 Sentinels. I don't really know much about this game. I don't know if you guys do.
Sadly not.
No, so I don't know. We don't know much about that. Well, there's Final Fantasy VII, there's Ghosts, there's Hades, and there's Last of Us 2. The thing is, like, of the Game of the Year games, when you go through these categories, it's about 30 different categories, but they're all quite similar, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, best direction, best narrative, and it's like, okay, well, what's the criteria here?
Yeah. It's only when you get down to things like the music or esports players or teams that it starts to really vary huge amounts.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And the other category that I thought you two might be interested in is the best RPG of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So on that list...
I obviously voted for Persona 5. Brilliant game. Recommend to anyone to get that. Well, just a brilliant buy. Worth a buy.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I just wanted to point out to you guys that Persona 5 Royal is on that list. And I think on that list of Persona 5 Royal... Final Fantasy VII, Genshin, Wasteland 3, and Yakuza Like a Dragon, I think Final Fantasy will win, and
yes, it will.
Persona would be the next in line there. You guys who know nothing about it, who never heard of it, and don't give a fuck about it, makes Game of the Year list. So good for Persona.
Yeah.
Now the next one, this week, surprisingly so, we did not start with a Cyberpunk news story.
I mean, you did kind of say next week, like, I think the second thing
I mentioned it
next week a big game is coming out,
which did I say?
You didn't say the word Cyberpunk, but
yes,
you said big game
But you recognized...
No, that wasn't
no, thank you. No, I appreciate what you're saying, Eddie. And I thank you. I did not say it, but a story number two. It's Cyberpunk. Now, I follow a YouTuber called Dreamcast Guy. He's one of my favorite YouTubers. He has received the game early. He didn't get posted it. He got it in the post early.
Okay.
He has played it. And he hasn't released his review because he's not allowed to, because I think CD Projekt Red,
of course not,
would kill him. So, but he has given his thoughts on the game. So I thought I'd just run through, and you two haven't seen his thoughts.
No.
And I thought I'd run through his main points of view. So the game length is the one thing that he talked about. So there is, he says, about 100 hours worth of content in the game.
Okay.
Okay. But the main story, he said, you could be in about 12 hours.
Okay.
So he has played the game, I think he said, for 35 hours, and he's done the main story, and he's done a lot of side quests, and he's done a lot of stuff. Now, obviously, there's DLCs attached. Now, I wanted to get your thoughts, Pete and Eddie, about how long The Witcher main story is, if you mainline it, Witcher 3, and get a kind of comparison going.
Oh, God, I've never mainlined the story in The Witcher 3.
Exactly. I hate knowing, said this many times, I hate that when I know a game's has an end, so I do everything in my power to not do that. Literally, I do every single fucking side quest. Even if a little child comes and asks me to save his cat, then I fucking save that cat. So yeah, I'm going to go off
same on this I game. Think it's meant to be 40 hours plus, though, for the main story.
Right.
Is it that long for the main story? Are you talking... So I'm talking about, let's say you did absolute minimal side quests. Do you still think it would take 40 hours?
I still think it does. And I think it was... They took into account that because it was too long. It diverges at several points. Pretty much every time you expand into one of the three main areas, it diverges in lots of different ways, which is great. And I like that mechanic. But if you don't take breaks from it, it feels like a grind, especially because the loading screens on The Witcher get old really quickly.
A good comparison, Ben, would be Skyrim was meant to be around 30 hours if you busted out the main quest.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I mean, interestingly, Cyberpunk's main campaign seems to be shorter, but that doesn't mean that... I mean, I'm not planning to mainline. I don't think people will mainline this game because I think this game has so much to offer.
Yeah.
I think it's just got a huge world. Now, that is, he said about the world and said, the world tells the story through it. Like he said, everything is with purpose. Like there are news stories everywhere. Everyone you speak to, people in nightclubs will tell you something new. Like every single person has something to offer. Their backstories. Like he was just, he loved the game. He was very, very positive about this game. Now, I know that he said that he pretty much did it in 4 days, but remember, he is a YouTuber trying to get his thoughts out there, and he wants to get his review out there.
Oh, yeah, so, he'll be rushing shit as well.
And I did read an article today in Forbes, I think, that said you've got to be careful about Cyberpunk reviews, because this guy said that he hadn't received his review code yet. So he said even with the best will in the world, he couldn't possibly get out a proper review in time. So he's going to have to do like 12-hour stints to finish this game. And you get a bad feeling about the game when you do that. He said the last game that he did this for was Red Dead 2. And then what he said tends to happen is that you inflate your review score because you compensate for the draining feeling that it gets you. And so he said in his article today, said that Red Dead he would have given a far lower score, but he didn't realize.
Too fucking
wrong. Yeah, fucking wank game, absolute wank. Then all of us played it and went, huh?
Yeah, what?
I mean, you say all of us when it's a really wildly popular game, but
it's so mixed reaction, isn't it? Like, I don't know anyone that's liked it. Oh, no, I do. I know one person. One person.
Exactly.
I didn't know. I think it generally is one of those games that, because it had such a hype, and the first one was so fucking good for its time, I think it's one of those that it's cool to like. Everyone saw those huge, you know, scores coming out, like 98, 99, and they thought, if I say this is shit, then people will say I have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you know what I mean? It's like in school when you gave a bad opinion about a footballer. You're like, oh, I don't think he's that good. That's because you know fucking nothing, you fat prick. And then you go, right, I wish I fucking didn't say anything now. That's what happened in Red Dead. It's only the brave ones that went, hang on, this isn't that good. What the fuck? And then
I agree.
Still got called a fat prick, but still, at least I knew what I'm talking about.
So it's kind of like in a community of reviewers when they're trying to rush out a review. They're probably talking to each other on WhatsApps and stuff like that as well, have these guys. But it's almost like if you ask them individually what their thoughts were, then they give a real opinion. But when it's in the crowd, they don't want to get ostracized for being the one that says it's not amazing.
Yeah, because they'll probably say, like, oh, you're just saying that because you want all the clicks. You want to be, you know, and they can't actually say, well, no, it's not actually that good. And then people will throw stats at them. Look how much money was spent on the game. Look at all the voice acting actors we got. But brass tacks, it wasn't that good. It was okay.
Very best. I agree. So his takeaway feels were that every time that he turned it off, the game, he wanted to turn it back on.
Yeah.
And that brilliant. I think is the telling thing. He talked about the shooter mechanics and stuff, and he said that the shooting was an excellent shooter, and he likened it to Call of Duty, how good it was.
The P won't be playing it.
Well, there's no denying
it doesn't look like Call of Duty, so it'll be fine.
There's no denying that the mechanics of actually shooting in Call of Duty are phenomenal.
Oh, incredible. The gunplay is next to none, isn't it? I remember, I always go back to Fallout 4, love the game. However, after playing Warzone, I went back to Fallout 4 and I went, fucking hell, this feels shit. This feels mega shit. Yeah. And I think it's just the gunplay, the thwack feeling you get when you hit someone and reloading and the sounds, fucking hell. Incredible. If Cyberpunk's got that, then I'm going to chuck some serious hours in.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, and I don't want to overhype the game, but it's going to be the best game ever. So I don't want to overhype it, guys. But we're about to see the best game ever. And who knows, the DLCs could, because with The Witcher, how many DLCs were there to The Witcher?
Two. Wow, two main ones.
And they were both like 20-30 hours, weren't they?
Oh yeah, they're solid extra games.
And they added fantastic things in, like the Blood and Wine one. Was it the Blood and Wine, Pete, where you get to get your own villa? Yeah, that was fantastic. That was actually probably the best DLC I know. Actually, no, when Skyrim had the base building one. Sorry, take all that back. Yeah, Skyrim base building.
You're a simple man with simple dreams.
I'm a simple man who just wants a home.
It just wants a home, baby.
Just want a home, solid income, maybe a farm, maybe some animals.
Oh, yeah. Stardew Valley, baby.
Oh, my God.
And the last thing is that the world is about double the size of GTA 5.
Oh,
fantastic.
That's what I heard today. So
I've got to admit, right, when I was doing some base research, it's funny, I obviously go balls deep with research, but this game, because I know I'm buying it already, I do research to see if I like a game and therefore is it willing to throw money. But because I've already thrown £50 at the nearest fucking store, so I've got my pre-order, I haven't done much. But when I looked into it, part of me thought it's all going to be in, is it Night City? Is that what they're calling it?
Yes.
I was a bit skeptical. However, when I saw that, like, Pete, you want me to start as Nomad, don't you?
Yeah.
And you start on the outskirts, don't you? And hell, I saw some of the gameplay for the outskirts. Holy shit, it looks gorgeous.
The wasteland is huge as well.
Yeah.
The outside of the city is
so
massive.
Pumped. Yeah. I'm so pumped for that. Yeah,
that's going to be wicked.
Mm, big time. Mm.
So, moving on from Cyberpunk, I know we don't want to, but there's going to be another chat on Cyberpunk next week. Moving on, Twitch. Now, this is a weird one, and got to get a little bit sensible with this one, but Twitch has removed the tag that people can use for its for when they're streaming a game for the first time. They've removed the tag blind playthrough. So that the suggestion being you can use first playthrough or a spoiler-free playthrough. A summary tweet that I saw about this was, happy to see Twitch has listened to everyone who shared feedback and removed the blind playthrough tag to encourage a more inclusive language for our community.
I think I've got so many opinions, but I'm going to keep quiet because I've got enough death threats already after releasing my full name last week. I can't.
The problem that I have with this, now I obviously have no problem with inclusivity, and maybe there are some people that having a go, but this is using a word which they're not associating with a group of people. They're just, it's about something. This is a common term.
Yeah.
And they're banning that. It just seems, ridiculous. What is going through people's heads? I mean,
but Ben, it's been going. I mean, think of the words that now don't exist. Brainstorm doesn't exist. Whiteboard doesn't exist. What's the disability one where that got changed?
I get your point, though.
Because people used it as a criticism. Basically, in this society, if I said carrot over and over again, then the word carrot would be changed.
But the point is, blind playthrough does not have negative connotation attached to it.
Like, I believe it's offensive to people who are blind, right? Is that why it's been...
I assume that's what they're saying. But what I'm saying is nobody uses it. So if I put blind playthrough on my Twitch stream, people go, all right, he's playing this for the first time. That's great. They don't go, he's playing it for the first time. What a loser. It's not like attaching negative connotation to blind playthrough. And I find that so weird. Why is this the case where you can't use a term which is completely separate? I just think it's mental. And I looked on the Eurogamer article, which kind of had this on there, and it was almost universal. The comments on this were just kind of agreeing with what I'm saying, and I think probably what you're saying, Eddie. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that I don't understand it.
Yeah, I find that quite a strange one, because when you think about it, you have blind trials in the sciences and window blinds. I mean, are they all... They're all sort of trying to do the same thing.
Yeah,
can you do something different?
Can you not do double blind studies anymore?
Yeah, of course. I'm wondering. They still do. So it just seems like a strange one to take, because blind as a word has multiple definitions across nouns, adjectives, and verbs. Like, it's not as if it's specific or derogatory at all.
No, it's not derogatory. It doesn't have negative connotation. I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Yeah, but it, I mean, maybe we're touching on something that we're not well placed to judge as well. So,
that's a strange one, though.
It's one of those that I'm obviously, as you guys know, I'm very liberal, but it's one of those scenarios where I don't understand it. I think it's ridiculous, but it doesn't affect me in a negative way at all if anything has changed or kept the same. And if it's offending this many people, let's just change it.
I'm of the opinion that I am able to be convinced the other way, because I'm not it's not the hill I'm going to die on. It'd be nice to be educated about something like this, because if there are a group of people that are genuinely upset about this, then fair enough. But I'd like to understand the mentality behind it. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it'd be good to understand.
Yeah,
it'd be a learning experience, I think, to understand that one. Right, moving on, and I know Eddie, you mentioned this in one of our group chats today, but Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2, which is the sequel to the much loved Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines, which was, I think it was 2004, something like that, something quite old.
It was a while ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, this sequel has been pretty much delayed to the second half of next year now. They've kind of come out and said it's unlikely to be in H1 next year. That was the Paradox boss. He said that, and I found that such a weird statement for somebody to say, oh, it's unlikely to be first half of the year. It's either gonna be first half of the year or it's not. You know, it's a very weird statement. Like, oh, I don't know when our deadline is. It might be in the first half of the year.
Well,
it might be in the second half. I don't know.
You say that, but Cyberpunk was slated for March.
How dare you say that about Cyberpunk, Pete?
Pete, Cyberpunk was slated for like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. It's missed a few deadlines. But my point is, it went from first half of 2020 to back half of 2020.
Yeah, but when we're not in the year, and for somebody to go, well, it could be first half of next year, or it could, well, that's like a month away, or it could be second half. It just seems weird. But
well, maybe they're thinking June 30th to July 1st.
Maybe they are. I mean, this game has been riddled with complications. It's been delayed twice, just like Cyberpunk. One of their content designers has had sexual assault allegations against him, and they've removed content from the game about him. And I don't really know how it works. I assume in America where this is going on, but and in this case, for them to remove stuff from the game about that person, there probably is some substance behind that. But they've chosen to take that stance on it. And they've had some key narrative designers move along and leave along the process. So I'm still really interested in this game. I really like the look of this game. I know graphically it doesn't look amazing, but it looks pretty good. And I am a sucker, and yes, pun intended, for a vampire game.
Dear God.
I fucking love a vampire game.
You don't like samurais, but you like vampire games.
Fucking love vampires. I liked Vampire on Switch, the one with the YR at the end of the vampire.
Oh, Vampire, isn't it?
Yeah, Vampire. However you want to say it, mate. but it's. I thought that was an excellent game. Dogshit Witcher 3 combat, but apart from the combat, excellent game. I can't wait for another good vampire game, and I'm sure this will get like,
you're gonna
65
have to fucking wait, mate. You're gonna have to wait very long.
Yeah, I think this will get 65 out of 100 at more Metacritic, something like that. But I'm still interested. And it's got a lot of bad press, so, and it's probably gonna be shit. But you know,
so you'll get it on the Switch?
No, it's not on the Switch. It requires too much power to be on the Switch.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I usually do. If a game isn't quite up to standard, I'll get it on the Switch, because then automatically it receives another point or two in my mind. That's what I did with Vampire. Literally bought it on the Xbox, thought, this is dog shit. Then traded in 2 years later, got on the Switch, thought, oh, this is really good.
Oh, fantastic.
Right. Neil Druckmann has been promoted. Well, he's now the co-president of Naughty Dog. So Neil Druckmann is the creative director behind Uncharted 4, both Last of Us games, and he's also the exec producer on the new Last of Us TV series that I know you mentioned last week, Eddie, alongside the guy who made the Chernobyl TV series, which I don't know if you saw.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's being done by those two. I mean, that has good show.
Awesome, couldn't it?
Yeah, that has good show all over it, doesn't it? Yeah, and I don't think the Naughty Dog will want to put their name to something which isn't good, because they do pride themselves on like being excellent narrative like designers. Like they really really go for that. But he's still going to write games. He's still going to be involved in the game making process. So that's good. But I think this story has kind of prompted people to think, well, what are Naughty Dog going to do next? Because after The Last of Us 2, they haven't really announced anything. Yeah. They did the other day, and I know I sent this to you guys, they released a new trailer for The Last of Us 2, like this week or last week, which is the Abby side of the story. So, spoiler alert, move on a minute if you don't want to know anything about Last of Us 2. But The Last of Us 2, you start off playing as Ellie, so the arguably the protagonist in the first game, even though you play as Joel. You start playing as Ellie, and then halfway through the game, unbeknownst to you, the player, there is a second protagonist who you play basically more time in the game than you do as Ellie. And that's why people were fucking furious, because nobody knew this. It was in no reviews. They weren't allowed to talk about it. So it was a surprise for everybody. And they released the trailer for the Abby side of the game. And I would love them to do an Abby spin-off. I'd fucking love it. Yeah, I think that's where they should go with it. And I know they got a lot of hate for having her in the game. They got a lot of death threats, but I reckon they should double down on it and make a game better.
It's a ballsy move.
It's the one thing everyone hated about it. Let's make it a fucking sequel. Hey, Family Guy did it with fucking Cleveland, didn't they? Jesus.
Yeah, God.
What a dumpster fuck that was, yeah.
That was. But I think a solid sequel or prequel to the Abby story would be excellent. So watch this space on that one, because I do think PlayStation are going down that. They're promoting these single-player games. If you notice that all of PlayStation's exclusives, the ones that they get behind it, they promote, they either develop or they support the development for, they're all single player games. I did hear something this morning that there was a study done, and to like say the stereotypical gamer of an Xbox gamer and a PlayStation gamer, and the Xbox gamers are more multiplayer gamers and the PlayStation gamers are more single player gamers.
More reason for me to get a PlayStation. Yeah,
it explains why all three of us were PlayStation first.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That explains a lot. Yeah.
This the last story we have on the list, and then this might be one for you to take, Pete, because I think you know a bit more about it, about the esports.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So basically, I just caught on to the fact that the BBC have announced a new television show about esports. Mm-hmm. So it's called Fight for First XL Esports, which, to be honest, isn't too inspiring as names go, but you know, it does.
It's
have
not, is it?
It's not, no, but it does have Cillian Murphy as the narrator host, which pulls it back in my eyes. That's a good sign. I don't know too much about it, except that it's following this XL esports team as they attempt to reach the League of Legends European Championships playoffs.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
And yeah, it should be around early next year. I mean, the good thing for me is I think it's great to see more gaming content on mainstream channels.
Yeah.
If you think back to the ones that have been around already, things like High Score were fantastic. High Score was really brilliant.
Did you guys watch the League of Legends Origins documentary on Netflix?
I thought High Score was okay, because I didn't really relate to most of the games in the early episodes. The League of Legends documentary.
It's so good.
Fucking hell. Ben, that's what I watched. Do you remember when I phoned you up one day and went, I want to go to an esports tournament because they look fucking insane.
Awesome.
It was from that documentary that I went, what? These are things? Holy fucking shit. So fucking cool. Oh, yeah. And it really gets you. I mean, I don't even like League of Legends, but even then, after watching that, I was like, all right, I need to do some research on this. Yeah, I need to figure out what classes. And yeah, bloody hell.
After I watched that documentary, I think for the second or third time, I've seen it a couple of times, I was like, right, I've got to stop playing League. So then did some research on YouTube and then basically was like, this is ridiculously hard, and it seems like everybody wants you to wrap your keyboard around your neck and kill yourself. Like that is like, if you can't play League when you start, if you're a noob, you are told to die. Yeah. Like, it seems like an incredibly toxic community when you're starting off. If you're absolute dog shit, you get ruined in the chat. So I was like, you know what? For my self-esteem, I'll stick to my single-player games.
To be fair, I don't think I've played a game where the community isn't toxic. Like, I don't think I can name one where I haven't been called all the names under the sun for absolutely no reason. What is it with games and people all of a sudden decide to be absolute monsters? What is that? Do you guys get it, or is it literally just me? I don't get
that much hate, but I think that's because whenever I play multiplayer games online, it's usually with my friends. And I get hate from them, but to the same extent where if somebody else tells you to kill yourself, if your friends tell you to kill yourself, you're going, like, yeah, okay, that checks out. But if somebody else tells you to kill yourself, that's quite intense. So I don't know. And when I play, you know, I play a lot of Splatoon online. That's Nintendo's kind of shooter. The online chat, it's very limited on Nintendo consoles because they're very scared of kids being being abusive to each other. So they really, really limit like voice chat and stuff like that. So you're not really worried about any of that. So if anybody thinks you're absolute dog shit, then they don't get to tell you about it.
That's why you play, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, that's the definitely, only game definitely
that's why you stuck to. That's why you went with Splatoon.
It's definitely why I paid 150 hours of Splatoon. Yeah.
That does sound right, to be fair.
But I don't know what it is. People behind the protection of a keyboard suddenly get to say what they want. It's a bit mental.
But
that's what we have for news stories this week.
Lovely.
Indeed. So new releases then.
New releases. So we'll go into a little bit into the gameplay of this in what you've been playing. But Immortals Fenyx Rising, we said, was coming out this week.
Yep.
It's got a Metacritic score of 78%. So pretty much what you would have expected, I think. Because you could tell from the look of it, you're probably expecting it to place just below an Assassin's Creed game. So, yeah, not mad at that. Probably a decent score. One of the things that I do like to mention, if there's a good game, is Pillars of Eternity and Tyranny. I didn't know about Tyranny. I don't know what that one is, but both Obsidian RPGs. But yeah, those two games are free on the Epic Store, and that's always we like to mention them when the good games do come out. So Pillars of Eternity as well. Pete, you know a bit about that game, don't you?
I do. I'm actually really interested, and I'm probably going to go and get that right away.
Yeah. I think that comes out, and it may even be released on the 10th, so it might be a couple of days early for it. But yeah, it's sometime this week, so it's a good one to look forward to. So the game's coming out this week. I don't know if we've said it, but there is a game coming out on the 10th called Cyberpunk. And as a result, I think a lot of games have moved out of Cyberpunk's way. We did speak about that a couple of weeks ago. So I think a lot of big games have moved out of their way. However, there are some things to get people interested. So Dragon Quest XI comes out on Xbox Game Pass and is also available on PS4. So that's the definitive edition, I think. So that comes out on Xbox Game Pass. That is supposed to be absolutely awesome RPG.
Mm. Well, Dragon Quest as a series is incredibly well regarded. So,
and I just love the fact that it's on Game Pass. It's been on Switch for ages, and the best thing they did was the first 10 hours you could play for free. So the demo is the first 10 hours.
Nice.
And you can carry on, so you can play for 10 hours and go, do I like this game? I just thought that was an incredible touch by them.
Yeah, definitely.
Minecraft Dungeons gets a DLC release on the 9th. Anybody interested in that? That's good. So it's like that Minecraft Diablo type game.
Yeah.
then both FIFA and Madden get their new console update on the 4th of December. So that would have happened a couple of days ago, but I thought it was worthwhile mentioning. Doom Eternal is released on the Switch on the 8th. That is also available on Game Pass, though, so anybody who's got a Switch and goes, oh, that's great, you can get it on Game Pass for free. Destiny 2 gets its new console update on the 8th as well. And John Wick, which has been out for a while on PC, I believe, gets its release on Xbox and Switch on the 4th. Nice. And that looks really cool. It looks a really cool, wicked little game. So, but the big ones are stepping out of Cyberpunk's way, which is fair enough. So,
and entirely wise, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I was thinking as well, why are they doing the games awards on the? Do you reckon this is either really stupid because obviously it's the same day as Cyberpunk released? Or is it really smart because it's probably going to take me fucking 4 days to download that and day one patch?
Honestly.
So it's probably going to, because let's be honest, all three of us probably aren't excited about the games we're playing right now. Actually, Ben, you have downloaded that new one. But we're all waiting for Cyberpunk. So this could be a brilliant idea. I know I'm, while fucking sitting there watching the one go to 2% after 4 hours, I'm gonna probably tune in.
I mean, to be honest, I think when Cyberpunk moved to the 10th of December, the Game Awards went, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Cunt the Why fuck that off.
Why that
Are you kidding me? Fuck off. That's what they went. That's what they did. Because obviously they can't change their date when Cyberpunk just come bustling in about 3 weeks before. Yeah, fuck y'all. We're releasing on the 10th. But how much is that? How large is that day one patch now, Eddie? You said it earlier, didn't you? On our WhatsApp, you said how big that patch was.
It was your YouTube guy that you like. It was him said it. 54 gigabytes.
Yeah. That's fucking huge.
I mean, how big's the game? Do we know how big the game is?
71 or so.
Fucking hell. That is, honestly, I don't know what I've got.
Oh, shit. So if I pick that game up after work, I'm not playing
it. Yeah, I'm not playing it that night. Not playing it. I'm already right. Actually, I might stay up to about 6 when it's scheduled.
Well, just so you know, you can start preloading it if you bought it digitally today on Steam, Epic, or GOG. GOG.
What the fuck's GOG?
GOG is selling. You don't know GOG? GOG's amazing, Ben. I mean, you might actually like GOG. That's what's weird. It's retro games, isn't it, Pete?
Indie games.
Yeah, well, kind not necessarily, but that's where they started out.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I thought they're good. No.
To be fair, guys, GOG is owned by CD Projekt Red, I'm pretty sure. So.
Oh, right. That checks out.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only AAA game on there then is this game.
Well, they've probably got The Witcher 3 as well.
Hey, they have Heroes of Might and Magic 3 as well.
That's what really matters.
That's what really matters.
I think I'm going to have to pick this game up in the morning, aren't I? And then I'm going to have to leave it installing while I go to work.
That's an idea.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to start installing today. That's how that goes. That's where we are.
Okay.
It's Cyberpunk day for me. I mean, I can't play it until Thursday. But download till Thursday at the earliest anyway.
Friday off as well, Pete. Right?
I may have Friday off, yeah. And Monday. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, I need to look into that Monday off. That's what I need to look into because I just want a 3-day weekend on this game.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's all I had for the releases. Shaping up for a good week because of the big one. That's all.
So thank you very much for the news. What we've been playing, and for once I've actually played something new.
Congratulations.
Yay. I know, like properly new. Like, not even new to Game Pass, properly new. I mean, it's a DLC, so it's not.
You spent money.
New. That's not fucking new.
And it's the worst spent.
So much.
It's the worst spent. It's like, oh yeah, I played a new game. I got a new game. I actually spent some money on a new game. Yeah, £6 DLC.
And I'll tell you what, it's fantastic value. That is a guarantee right now. I've only played half a dozen hours, maybe a bit more, of the new Wood Elf campaign with the Sisters of Twilight, who are one of the legendary lords. But it's fantastic. It's exactly what I'd hoped they'd do with the Wood Elves. It's a really different campaign to all the other ones. They've got a really interesting new mechanic. Amber is still there, but it's now pretty much irrelevant, which is brilliant. Love that. And it really highlights all the best things about Warhammer. Total War, obviously. So, yeah, I would recommend it to anyone who's ever played it.
Cool. Talk to me, Pete. Because obviously I had a real problem with... I think the Wood Elf campaign is the reason why I went off Total War, because I was telling myself that they were the perfect, perfect race for me, because I fucking love archers, and obviously they have the best archers. Even their cavalry were my kind of cavalry, like the shock with not very good armor, but they can run in, run out. Yeah. And then when I played their campaign, the sheer disappointment of that fucking amber system just made me walk away, and I haven't come back since. Does it? So you say the amber? Here's two questions for me, for you. One, can you build troops in places apart from your own fucking thing and only your fucking thing? And two, does the amber? Basically, can you still build things even though you haven't got that fucking amber thing?
So. The second question, yes. Amber now only really influences technology. And you get it for a whole new thing, which is about reseeding the forests. So they are full-on tree hippies, the Wood Elves now. But basically, they've added about four or five new locations and linked them together using this system called the Deep Roots. So Wood Elves can now teleport across the map, but only to specific locations. And there's like one in Lustria, one in Naggaroth, one in Ulthuan, one in the Southlands, and then like five in the Old World, including Athel Lauren. And you teleport between them, you build them up, take out the areas around them, and that lets you like sanctify the forest again. And that gets you amber, which you use on more powerful tech. So basically now all the stuff that was annoying is gone. You don't have to conquer anyone, really. Although securing areas is good. You still can only build very limited units outside the Wood Elf forests, but because there's a lot more forest, you don't notice it so much.
Yeah, exactly.
I've not had any of that sort of, oh, for fuck's sake, I can't reinforce yet.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, I'm only on turn 70 or so, so the late game could still have some failures. But for me, really, it's highlighted the main strength of Warhammer and Total War combined, which is that, well, unlike all the other ones, Warhammer allows you to actually have full unit diversity, doesn't it? Like, everyone's completely different. They're all completely unique, which none of the historical titles could do. Mm-hmm. And I think you tried Three Kingdoms as well, didn't you? Which is an amazing setting and an amazing and beautiful game. But after you've done a couple of campaigns, you've seen every unit in the game.
Exactly.
Whereas with Warhammer, you have to do 30 different campaigns. And even then, you probably won't get all of them. And this one really highlights it, and it made the Wood Elves actually the most fun campaign I've had so far for a long time. I'd highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
So, Pete, that's fantastic. Very happy.
Do you think this is going to be the last DLC before they move on to doing Warhammer Total War 3?
I would think so. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few more little ones. They normally throw in a free LC with the DLC packages. So for this one, there's another Wood Elf Lord called Draika, who I haven't tried out yet, but she was the free LC. And I think they might do a few more like that just to fill in gaps. But I'm hoping now that all the core races have been updated, they're going to focus on Chaos and Warhammer 3.
And this one must have been pretty good, because I think you said to me that you were only playing it with two mods going on or something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's par for the course. Whenever a game gets updated, all the mods die and need updating. Yeah. But I just went, you know what, I'm going to play it anyway. And I think the only ones I left on were a couple of Mixus, who's one of the biggest modders in the community and does additional lords. He's added a lot of lords from the games into Warhammer Total War. Nice. And his were updated within a few hours. So I kept them on because they just add awesome diversity to it. But they're the only ones I've been running. And I didn't notice any of the lacking. For it.
That's wicked. Cool. That's wicked. It's probably the most positive we've heard you be about any game as well. So I know this is like one
not
of your
game.
Favorite
DLC.
Games of all time.
Not a game. Yeah. For yeah. Pete next week when he goes, oh, well, technically I have done. No, you haven't. You still haven't done a game. Where was the last game you did?
To be fair, I think I'm all right for next week, Eddie.
Next week is the only week.
Hang on, that doesn't count because me and Ben are already going to talk. I assume I'll fucking talk first.
No,
so I'm going to already talk about it. All right, you're going first. I'm going
off. That's the week that Pete is actually interested in talking about a game. He goes first. So he's interested in talking about this one, so he goes first. Next week, he wants to go first about Cyberpunk because he's actually interested.
Yeah, exactly.
If Pete doesn't so next week, guys, if Pete goes first, that means it's a great game. If Eddie or myself go first, it means that it's shit.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Look forward to that one. Spoilers.
So, what have you been playing, Ben? What have you been playing?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I've been playing Phoenix Rising, and also the new Ubisoft game, the new Ubisoft open world game.
Yes, indeed.
I bought it on Switch. I think I said before because it's got a great retrade, like resale value. It will hold that one, and also. It very much is modeled on Breath of the Wild. So, and that was the first game that I had on Switch. I played it all in handheld and I absolutely loved it. I treasured it and still got it now. It never met the trade-in. So, never met that fate. So, I was looking forward to getting this because I thought, well, okay, this is what it's trying to emulate. And my God, does it try to be Breath of the Wild. Holy shit. Now, I'm not saying that's like a terrible thing at all, like for somewhere, something to emulate it and come short or whatever. But it is Breath of the Wild meets Assassin's Creed. Like the combat is like a more basic Assassin's Creed. Again, that's not a bad thing. I think the combat is excellent in this game. And the Zelda elements, I mean, to put it in perspective, it's got, I don't know how much you know about Breath of the Wild, but it's got littered around the world. They've got shrines in Breath of the Wild where you do each shrine. It's like puzzles. And then you get a thing which you can then upgrade your stamina and health. Exactly the same thing. They're identical. Then there's four different areas of the map on Breath of the Wild that you can attack in any order. And you find something tall. You find this like tall tower. And once you've gone up there, put your Sheikah shake on the top, then on a slate on the top, then it reveals the whole area exactly the same. And then in each of those areas there's four like bosses in each of those four areas exactly the same. And then in the middle in Zelda you're fighting Ganon, who's like the main bad guy in the game,
of course.
And in each of the four areas you're releasing like the divine beasts, which then fight for you against Ganon. Here you're fighting for the gods and you're bringing them back and getting them powerful again. And then you're fighting Typhon, as the big baddie. So
Typhon,
Typhon, he's like, mythical kind of, he was always the mythical bad guy, right? So he's the equivalent of Ganon in this game. So it couldn't be more Breath of the Wild. Like everything about it is stylized on it, but ultimately it's fucking fun. It's a really good game. Like it's a solid 7.5 to 8 out of 10, but many hours. Like you're always stumbling across things to do, you're always stumbling across things to collect, to see, to do. It's fun. It's packed full of quests. It's classic Ubisoft game where your map is just absolutely overrun with shit on it to go to and do. So it's just, I find the storyline quite engaging, to be honest. I think it's funny. Like they've got Zeus and Prometheus like bantering the way through. It works.
Nice. The playthroughs I've been watching, it looks like they focus massively on the humor, haven't they? And it's really well done, actually.
It can go two ways. Like it can either be like, oh, what the fuck are they doing? But actually, I think it's fun. Like if you just don't go in too serious, you just go like, this is going to be fun. It is surprisingly fun. It's surprisingly good. The one thing, the version of it that I think could sell the best would be the Switch version. Because I think in December this game is going to get absolutely fucking destroyed by every other game. Like, I don't think it's going to sell well. I don't think this game's going to do very well. And I don't think that's going to be a measure of the game itself. I don't know if you guys remember a game called Starlink, which was on every console. But on the Switch version, which sold the best, there was a Star Fox link. Mm. So Star Fox was in the Switch version, and you could do the whole game of Star Fox in a complete campaign of Star Fox. It's basically a Star Fox game on the Switch. So I bought it on the Switch and I played the whole thing as Star Fox, and I considered it a Star Fox game. And I absolutely loved it. Now this game, I think, has missed a trick that they're not linking this. I've heard this elsewhere, so this isn't an original thought by me, but they should have linked this to Kid Icarus. So Pit from Kid Icarus, this is like the perfect Nintendo tie-in that they should have done on the Switch version. I think the Switch version has the best chance of selling. Ultimately, when you stack the versions up one to the other, the PS5 and the Xbox versions look fantastic. The Switch version looks... It's good for a Switch game. Yeah. It's ropey, though. If you stack it up against the PS5 version, I mean, there is no denying. Like, I'm enjoying it. The frame rate is holding up largely. And it's decent, but I dread to put this on my TV. Like, I'll play it in handheld, but I'm not going to touch this on the TV. But I really kind of wish that I might have had it on PS5, but ultimately I bought it to play in handheld. So, but it does look gorgeous on PS5. So, but overall, really good. So I really do think that it could be an excellent little Christmas present for somebody, or something like that.
If you have a 5-year-old child, then get this game.
Okay. No, it's good game. Good game. It's basically almost like a simpler Assassin's Creed.
I've got to admit, Ben, I think this is the first game that I knew you were buying where I actually considered buying it. I did my usual research. I watched playthroughs. I watched reviews. You know what? The one thing that put me off, because you know what really turned me on to this game was ages ago when there was Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Direct. Nintendo I was going to say download. Yeah, that's it. I watched one of them and I went, hang on, this actually looks beautiful. Like, even though it's, you know, typical Ben Kershaw cartoon fucking dog shite, despite your horrendous opinion on video games.
Am I supposed to say thank you to this? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Despite you not knowing a thing about a decent, well-constructed computer game, Persona 5, and Persona 4. Don't forget that one. I looked into it, but you know what really I don't like is there's so many fucking puzzles. And I'm a grown man. I don't want to do little sad puzzles. It looked like everywhere you went, there was a little puzzle to do that got you another puzzle. And
this game is emulating Breath of the Wild. It's a derivative of Breath of the Wild, and that was a core mechanic in Breath of the Wild. But Breath of the Wild was like the shrines were bordering on genius. Like, and the best thing about the shrines was that you could complete them in different ways. So, like, if there was, you had to get something from point A to point B, put 10 people in the shrine, they'll do it differently. That was the beauty of Breath of the Wild. Like, you could do things in however you wanted. This isn't quite the same. Like, there are methods to beating the whatever the fuck they call it, but the equivalent of the shrines. there is a method to doing it. Like, go on this switch, put this thing there, do this in this order. Whereas in Breath of the Wild, it was kind of like, I need to get this ball over there. And you kind of feel like you're cheating the game sometimes, because you're like, oh, if I aim for this thing there, and then you do it 10 times, and then it'll sneak through, and you're like, oh, fuck, I did it. I did it not the way you're supposed to do it. Like, but you're allowed to. Like, the whole thing was to promote creativity. This game doesn't quite do that. So the shrine elements can feel a little, because they're very long as well. Like, those shrines can take like 25 minutes. The puzzles can take about 25 minutes. So I can understand being off put, because you may not. So like, who plays a game for puzzles every 10 minutes? Like,
yeah,
but it's not like that. Like, honestly, I'm not finding it tedious. I think I really like them as an element of the game, and you can avoid them for, you have to do them because you have to level up those like those elements of your character, but you know, it's not continuous.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, good little game. The second game that I've been playing is Maneater, the shark RPG.
Nice.
Came out earlier this year. I've been coveting it for months, and I finally thought, let's do it. It's 20 quid, and it's got a PS5 upgrade for the graphics. So I thought, let's have a go then. Let's have a go. One thing for people to remember, if they've got a PS5 and you're using PS4 games, make sure when you install the upgrade, because you have to install the upgrade, it doesn't do it automatically, then press select on the game and you have to scroll down to the bottom and you have to select the PS5 version. A lot of people have been doing their PS4 game upgrades and then playing the PS4 version of the game. You have to actually select the PS5 version of the game. But that's a side point. This game's great. You take a shark from the outset, from a young pup, and you grow it up.
Young pup?
Yeah, young. They're called pups.
Are you fucking serious? I'm serious. Your stupid terms.
They're called pups. So there is a story behind it. There is like a hunter that's after you.
Holy shit! A baby shark is referred to as a pup. I apologize, Ben.
No, I just told you.
I thought you were saying like that's what the game calls it. I didn't know a baby shark is actually a pup. Wow. Okay. Okay, I take it. I apologise, Ben.
Just said it. I mean,
you make.
To be fair, Ben, I also immediately googled that because I didn't believe you.
That checks out as well. That's fair enough. But you level up. You get different evolutions for your shark. You go from like pup to teen to adult to elder. You go through different areas. You do different tasks. It's a constant like collectible kind of move to next thing. Different quests and stuff. It's actually mindless fucking great fun. Like, it's just fucking fun. Like, really, really good for 20 quid. It's well worth it if you're in between games and you've got a little bit of cash to burn. Then I definitely recommend Maneater.
Ideal. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it because I had quite high hopes for that one as well. Yeah, so that's a good thing to know.
Okay, so that's me. That's all I've been playing.
Oh, sorry. I was drinking cider. Right.
Professional podcasting.
I knew you were coming. So it's like, I'll have a swig. I was like, oh, that tastes good. Let's have a couple more.
I need to drink before I talk.
I need to moisten the mouth, you know? So. Oh,
cool. You moist? Are you moist?
I'm
moisten the mouth hole.
Yeah, so the mouth is real moist for this now. So
lovely. That's what we aim for. Yeah, right. There you go.
So I've been playing the new FIFA. So as I may have mentioned last week, that I was playing the old FIFA, and then I qualified for the weekend tournaments, and then you found out that there are no weekend tournaments anymore, which is real shit. Really pissed me off. And the fact that the week before I found out that the app doesn't work unless you've got the latest FIFA, that kind of made me go, should I buy it? No. But then when I found out there's no weekend tournaments, I thought I'd shove it to EA and buy the latest one. So they're obviously going to be really upset now that I've thrown some money their way. But I'm playing the new one and I'm upsettingly really enjoying it. Really? I was told there weren't many differences between that FIFA and this new FIFA, and I disagree with whoever said that, because the differences that have been made, for a start, but the differences between each FIFA, I think we can all agree, are pretty minimal. Yeah. I think with all games like these, sort of football managers, Call of Duties, the differences are minimal. But these ones, they're quite big. So the two major differences with gameplay that I think are actually huge are the runs, right? So you know where you normally press LB and then you pass it and then your player runs on?
Yep.
Well, this, you can flick the right stick to any direction. So, and it's one of these things that you think, why hasn't this been in FIFA for 20 years? So that makes that player run in that exact direction that you say. So instead of having...
run.
It's incredible. So, like, let's be honest. Football now is all about the left and right forwards, aren't they?
Yeah.
Messi, Ronaldo, Mane,
Salah.
Literally every fucking world class player is a
Sterling.
F-wing. Sterling. Yeah. Okay, I said world class, not. Every player like that is that position. So in Old FIFA.
Well, come on.
Man United players. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
Scrape the barrel.
Ryan Giggs, they bring him back. Jesus Christ. He'll still be better than Greenwood. Right. Anyway.
Natural ball finisher. Anyway, I digress.
With those players, when in the Old FIFA's, when you press the left bumper and you ran, it was ridiculous because they ran along the wing. Even if you're like right by their goal, they'll just sprint along. So it's one of those things that why hasn't this been a thing from the beginning? But they've sorted that out and it's incredible. I can't believe it's an absolute game changer. Another one that's very similar to it is you can, and this is brilliant, right? When I used to play two people online, I used to think this is an automatic loss. I am not one of those wankers that quits a game halfway through in FIFA. Whoever's listening that does that, fuck you, because I hate it. Just play the fucking game. But
don't take it too personally. Like,
play games how you want to play games.
Do whatever you want, bro. That's cool.
Finish your game in FIFA, right? And when you used to play two players, you used to know I'm going to get fucking raked here. It's just going to happen because they can control people off the ball. They can make their runs. Now, what they've done here, if you press, I can't remember now, I think it's both the bumper, no, both the sticks in, you control another person. Now, don't get me wrong, the computer has the person with the ball and he just does normal runs. It's not like he's skilling anyone. So it is quite easy to tackle him, but you can use that person, run off the ball, run around, and then press like triangle or Y, and that through ball goes to that player. So it's huge. Not many people are doing it online at the moment, but this could be game changer. It could be massive for FIFA because it adds another whole different level of skill. I mean, as well, what I'm really happy with is the FIFA Ultimate Team. Let's be honest, it's what everyone plays now, which is upsets me because I used to like to play career mode. I was a big single player career mode guy, but that's dead in the water now. They've really improved it. What I used to love in the old one, I used to always have the badge of Grimsby Town Football because it's one of the very few badges that actually included the game sounds. So the fans. So when you used to play with them, you used to hear like everyone go, hoo hoo, fish, 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 fish. And it used to be really cool because you used to think those are my fans cheering. Now what they've done here, not only do you have your
that's a stretch.
What they have now is they have all the different fan noises. So you can have United saying like, you know, loads of children crying because their team's shit, or you have like AC Milan with the like deep woo woo, you know.
The cool thing for AC Milan and the shit thing for United. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly. It does sound about right.
Okay, cool.
Nailed it. And for like Brighton, you hear them going like seagulls. And on top of that, they've got all these stadium things that incorporate like your badge, your colours. You can equip different. It's very good. It's very well done. And hats off to FIFA for this one. On the other side of it, it's fucking toxic community always is. Honestly, I've been playing for like a week now and I have been called everything. And it really pisses me off. I've won the majority of my games and I still get abuse. I get messages saying like, you fucking noob, you only beat me 2-0. And it's always, I don't know how to answer that. I go like, I won. And then they send like laughing face emoji. I'm like, I mean, what do I do here? I've won the game. I report them. But I mean, come on, what's that done? So that obviously really fucking upsets me, especially when you lose and they message. Oh, God, you feel like shit then. I mean, what do you do?
The one thing.
Go on.
With the Ultimate Team, like I played quite a bit of it. I think it was FIFA 2018. Played quite a bit of Ultimate Team, and I enjoyed it. I didn't. I refused to spend any money on it, so I just enjoyed like improving gradually and stuff like that. Yeah. But the one thing that got me was that I was never. You're always placed in that league where everything's quite tough. Like, everything's very, it's almost like you're just below the level that you're playing against. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, it wasn't like a game that I ever felt that I was getting better at. Like, I know I'm okay at FIFA. Like, we've played each other a number of times. FIFA's one of those games that once you've played it enough, you're of a standard where you can always pick it up and play it.
Yeah.
You can get really good if you buy the latest version, put in shit tons of hours or whatever, but ultimately you develop a standard. So I can always pick up a football game and be able to play it. But I think a lot of people have that skill. And I just found like it wasn't like a game that you ever felt that you were getting so good that you really enjoyed it, because it always just bumped up the people that you're playing it, because you go for the next league or something, and then it's always a slog again. Mm-hmm. I felt, and once you get to your level, let's say it's Div 4 or something, and you're just bouncing between a Div 3, back down to Div 4, back up mm-hmm. to Div 3, back down to Div 4, like, it's not enjoyable when you're not. For me, it was great when I started at Div 9 and I bashed through to Div 5. You're like, yeah, I'm fucking really enjoying this. As soon as you get to your level, that, because you reach a ceiling. I reach a ceiling with games like after 20, 30, 40 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's not enjoyable for me because I'm just bashing around the same level.
Ben, I'm very glad you mentioned this. I mean, I do agree with you. In the past ones, that's exactly happened to me. On this version, I'm glad you said this because I actually forgot to mention this. They have these other game modes. Well, not game modes, because they did have them in the last one, but they have better challenges that are like, for example, the two that I can think of, one's called Silver Squads, right? Where you're only allowed to field silver players.
Oh, yeah.
And the rewards are fucking good. So they're like actual world-class players. And this is why I fucking love it. One, because it means their best fucking squad is as good as your best squad.
Yeah.
So,
And this
leads me on nicely to the next point. A big reason why I fucking hate playing FIFA is everyone has their insanely good squads. And there's fucking dickhead Eddie who hasn't spent a penny, who has fucking Man United players. Gobshite,
that
fucking shit.
Hurtful.
Can't kick a football. Don't know what a football is.
That is not acceptable.
Oh, yeah. Those kind of players. I would say I've got four United players on my first team.
There's no reason to bring United into this.
I mean, no reason. No, if anything, it's good, because obviously all the United players are like fucking 80. So it's good because you can afford them. Because obviously, like, you log into the game. How much is Rashford? £4. Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah, I'll sell fucking Gross from fucking Brighton, and I'll be able to afford half of United stuff. So it's good in that.
Yeah. He's a good player.
But that's what's great about these silver things. And there's another one called Manager Masterpiece. It's great because it gets those kids that have paid fucking thousands of pounds in the same bracket as you. And when you beat them, you go, fuck you. That's brilliant because you have spent all this money. And that, this leads me nicely onto the biggest problem with FIFA is pay to win. People will say it's not pay to win, but it's fucking pay to win. Because,
to be fair, I think that's a good time to move forward, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
if we're going to talk about pay to win, I think it's probably time to talk about microtransactions, don't you? Okay, so the key question I think we should look at is, I think you phrased it well, Eddie, is should microtransactions be allowed in games at all? And I think we can break that down into a few parts. But first off, tell us what it's like in FIFA. Tell us about the pay to win aspect.
Yeah, it breaks a game. I mean, like with all fucking games where it's pay to win, it fucking destroys it. And I'm really passionate about this because I'm going to try and calm myself down a few times during this because I'm going to get too irate. But a big reason why I bought this new FIFA, apart from the two reasons I've already mentioned, was because I kept on turning up and I'm playing fucking Pele, Beckham, Maldini, fucking Shevchenko.
Oh, that must drive you mad.
No, there's no United players there.
You don't have Shevchenko and other people have it. That must drive you mad.
Fucking hell.
So angry.
Yeah, Maradona. Yeah. And it's fucking infuriating because you think I'm better than this person. Right, for example, I have played so many games where I've dominated. I've got like one goal. They've got a lucky one back. I've got another one through sheer hard work and good gaming. and then the last 5 minutes they shoot from the fucking halfway line with Pelé and just put it top corner. Then 2 minutes later they dribble past the whole team with Kaká and then just pop it. And I've got fucking, you know, Smalling in the back. And you think this is not fair because this twat has just spent thousands of pounds just getting these worldies. And I bought the new game thinking at least there won't be as much of that. But there already fucking is. And I know what it is. It's people just spending sheer money quickly on these fucking packs to get the best possible players so they can be the best. And it's shit because it makes good gamers like me go, what the fuck's the point? Because I haven't spent the money. I'm having to play with Manchester United and they're playing with icons.
Yeah, but okay. Let me come at this from another angle. But you've chosen to play FIFA and you've played FIFA before, like, and FIFA is a pay to win game.
No.
You know that.
No. Right. So what you're basically saying is FIFA is a pay to win game,
yes,
and it's my fault for playing it then.
Yes.
But it's
and getting
not,
angry. You can play it.
It should not be a pay-to-win game. I mean,
but,
for sight,
why not?
It never has
why
been
not?
In the past. But,
no, it
before
has
all these stupid...
No, Ultimate Team has been a pay-to-win game. So, but tell me why it needs to change. Because it evidently is that. You know that. You've chosen to play it. And you get angry for being beaten at it. Like, what's gone wrong there?
FIFA should be a game. Well, I like to think is a game of who is the better at FIFA.
Well, I tell you, there's a version of FIFA and it's called career mode. You can have a go at that.
I used to swear by it. Yeah, no, I played on
give
the
yourself a
level.
Go, mate.
Ultimate
have
level.
Go but on it, then. It, have another it, go. Do it again.
I mean, for a start, they've given up on it. They haven't progressed it. When I bought FIFA 20, I looked at the difference between FIFA 20 and 19, and even the fucking animations for the negotiations were the same. They've honestly...
Yes, that's true. No, that is very true. Yeah, very true.
I remember before FUT mode, before those days, career mode was fucking awesome. I used to play it all the time. They used to bring out other modes like Champions League mode, which you'd touch upon for 2 minutes and then go, that was shit.
Yeah.
But career mode was fantastic and it had so much, it was so deep. And you looked at the training and you looked at the youth academy. Now I cannot see any fucking, you know, I got really excited with the patch notes of the latest update with the FIFA 21. And it was about career mode. There was a career mode section. I went, please to God. And there was four things, all of them fixed bug. And I was like, is that what this world has come to now?
I think your good point there is that what I think you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this is detracting from them doing the real good FIFA that you used to enjoy, because it's taking up all of their time just relying on this game
like,
where they get paid
exactly like all fucking games these days, because they have looked at what has made money.
Yes.
They have forgotten their values. They have forgotten exactly what they should be doing. We've said it before with Bethesda, and FIFA are even guilty of doing it themselves. It's annoying because you kind of can't blame them because the amount of money, I would love to see the figures of how much these fucking microtransactions in FIFA alone makes them. It must be because, I mean, that's for example, I've spent 35 quid. I'm not going to spend that. I'm not going to give EA any more money until the next FIFA, which should be 35 quid. I mean, three packs later and someone else has made that up.
Can I ask you one question, though? So let's just say they put in loads of effort to the career mode and it was great and it was exactly how you wanted it to evolve. And it was a really good time. Would you mind that Ultimate Team was exactly how it is? Or would you go, oh, FIFA, they're catering for both audiences, and I'm happy with that? Is it because you want to play FIFA, you want to play a football game, you want to play the best football game around, and that is FIFA, and unfortunately, the only real mode that you can play to that they're putting any real time into is Ultimate Team, and you don't like that mode because it's pay to win, which is that's a perfectly fine argument. But so if they put all that time, if they make career mode awesome, would you think this is fine?
Yes and no. I would probably play career mode a lot more. I used to only sink time into career mode. I think this latest FIFA is the only one that I've actually sunk some serious time into for. Yeah. So I it's sort of, yes. However, I'm good at FIFA and I want to get better. I've noticed when I played on the last FIFA career mode for God knows how many hours, I was on literally the top level. Pete, I had a rant to you, didn't I, saying FIFA needs to sort out their fucking difficulties, because even on top, I was consistently winning 3-4-0. So it really pissed me off. But when I used to log online, it's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
You know what I mean? Like against the computer, when I do a 1-1, the person knew that was coming from a mile away and just directed a player over there. So it's going to be a different game. I want to be able to play online and I want to get better and I want to show that I am better than most people. But the problem is I can't do that because someone who is a little bit worse than me has a much better team and therefore tramples me.
But I don't think by necessity a pay to win is bad. I think there are other things attached to it which I do think are bad, and we'll move on to that. But I don't think pay to win is bad if you know what you're getting into. So I mean, you knew what FIFA Ultimate Team was. You can't get I can't get angry at something I know and then be angry that it is what it is. Like
I don't know. I think you can.
But you've chosen to go down the route. I mean, you can, obviously, but it doesn't make sense that you'd put yourself through that if you knew what it was.
Well, for starters, Ben, there's no real competition for FIFA anymore.
That's a problem.
In terms of multiplayer football games. Mm. There isn't any real competition that actually holds up. So having that locked behind a paywall, if you want to play in the top echelon and have a chance, is ridiculous. And I've not bought a FIFA game in years, even though I used to love them. And I will never spend money on it because of the fact that I know that pay to win's involved. And simply, I just don't see what purpose there is if how good you are at the game isn't the deciding factor.
That exactly. That's what should be.
No,
that's
I don't
what FIFA is surely. No,
I don't think so either.
Tournaments.
Like, I'd like what you're saying. Absolutely, I'd like what you're saying. But I'm just saying that doesn't, what you're describing isn't a game that exists, and we know it. We know it doesn't exist. But you've gone into a game thinking that something, I don't know, trying to play something which doesn't exist. That's what I'm just saying. That's what I'm trying. That you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that what you're saying is wrong. Like I would want that game as well. That game sounds awesome. What you're describing is great, but that game doesn't exist. So to get annoyed that something which you know isn't that, like that seems a bit illogical.
Well, I get where you're coming from. I think it is because of how long FIFA's been around, and obviously Pro Evolution back in the day as well, when they weren't pay to win. Mm. And then, I mean, I realise it's been quite a few years since the changeover happened, but the fact that that has slid into purely pay to win with no other alternative is something I think Eddie's justified enough in being pissed off about. I'm still pissed off about that.
Yes.
Now, if we're going to talk about microtransactions as a whole, it's different elements. And I know FIFA is a good example of this for another reason, isn't it, Ben? Which is loot boxes.
Yes, absolutely. I think loot boxes, the difference between microtransactions and loot boxes in my eyes, you have microtransactions. Let's say, take for example, Fortnite or Warzone, where you have season passes, microtransactions where you can buy through their V-Bucks in Fortnite, you can buy certain things. That's what keeps a game alive when it's free to play. So we wouldn't have these games like Fortnite and Warzone, and you could say I don't want to play those games.
I would be much happier without both of those.
Yes, yeah. But what I'd say to you, Pete, and I've said this before, is that without Fortnite you wouldn't have the Epic Store. Without the Epic Store you wouldn't have got Rome Total War for free.
Like Troy, you wouldn't be getting. I would have paid for it, but yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have got it for free, and you wouldn't get the games that I've suggested earlier that you could download. Like you wouldn't get those for free because the Epic Store wouldn't exist. There's a knock-on effect to all these things, and you don't have to enjoy every game that's out there for these different reasons. But what I'm saying is, like, let's say open world games like Genshin Impact. Mm-hmm. They are only around and they're free to play and they're awesome and people love them. Because of microtransactions, because of these little snippets that people could buy. Like, if I'm really enjoying a free game, I don't mind chucking down. Like, if I'm spending 40, 50, 60 hours on a free game, like, yeah, I'll chuck in some money on it. Like, how many times, Eddie, have I said to you, Just give me a reason to buy a fucking Warzone Battle Pass.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I want to buy it, but I see no value in it. But I want, if there was something in that pass where I go, like, that's cool, I want that, I'd pay for it. I really would. Because I've spent enough time in that game to justify paying some money on it. I mean, I've only spent $1,500 buying a PC to play that game. but it's a free game. So, like, sometimes that's what keeps those types of games alive, and that's amazing. But when, as Pete, you moved on to loot boxes,
yeah,
that is a different kettle fish altogether, isn't it? And
yeah,
we actually have, we have experience of somebody we know who has fallen kind of foul to this. So loot boxes are essentially, in many people's eyes, gambling, aren't they?
Yes, as they should be.
Yeah, so this is kind of like this Wild West area of gambling, where some people call it gambling, some people don't call it gambling, governments get involved, certain countries ban it, all this kind of stuff. But we have a friend of ours who he has spent on the last, roughly the last 3 years, he spent between £7,000 and £10,000 each year on FIFA. Each year. Now, yeah. That's, and so he has ploughed money into buying, he buys points on FIFA, which you can then use to buy packs. Get the packs, which then are a random lottery of what players you'll get. And then you can sell those players on the transfer market to gain in-game currency, which you can then use to buy the players you really want. So it's a lottery, it's a gambling thing to open these packs. Now, one argument could say, if you're a grown-ass man with or woman with disposable income, then you can choose what you want to do, and that's a perfectly valid argument. Absolutely, not saying you can't do that. But this game seems to prey on those people. So the person that we know has very much fallen into the hole of using FIFA, and this could happen to any, but we've all got crutches that we have in our life. And he uses this, and it's something which he attaches self-worth to, as we do in games and stuff, and all aspects of life, and something that you feel that you can control by spending money, like in the pay to win, and you throw so much money down the drain, but because everyone's doing it or people are better and you may not be that good anyway, you get into this hole. So we asked him specific questions about is it gambling, and his response was absolutely it's gambling. And he said, interestingly, on a betting website, it's far more regulated, and
it's hugely,
and you put caps on what you spend and things like that. Whereas you can on FIFA, and so it's so easy for him just to click the button. He calls it double tapping, where he just tap, and then he's 80 quid in the hole. He can spend 500 quid just in a flash.
I'll add to this very quickly. There are two things that FIFA makes it 100 times worse. One is what you mentioned. When you are down in the dumps, you look for an excuse of why. Ben, we do it with Warzone. When you get killed in a situation where you think, I should have done better, you blame your gun. Yeah. Now, in FIFA, you blame your team, and you go, because their team's better, I need to get better teams. And honestly, the temptation to quickly go there, I can see it. I reckon if I hit that threshold of buying my first pack with real money,
then
what is stopping me? You know what's fucking really clever, which I only just remembered? FIFA, when I bought this game, right? If you spend £10 more, which was a big discount, you got 10 free packs. And I thought, well, that's fucking hell. I'll get some amazing players that will kind of get me over that first, having to use Man U players. And that was brilliant. But that would have been, that would have been the threshold. You've already paid real money. So, and my second point is FIFA are amazing at the whole gambling aspect. When you buy a pack, because you do get packs when you like do achievements, right?
Yeah.
When you open a pack, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it gives it's a spectacle, incredible. Isn't it?
It's fucking incredible. You've got your the inside of your tunnel, and it brings in the aspects I said about earlier, the stadium. So you've got your flags. Like, for me, it's the Brighton flags. Then there's the Plymouth Argyle badge above the above the tunnel, and it comes out, and you have literal flares coming out in your face, and you see streaks coming along following you. And the thing is, the longer it goes down the tunnel, the better player you have. So you keep on going, like, please keep going, keep going, keep going. And when it reveals the player, it's a fucking explosion. It brings out the player. There are literal fireworks. I'm not even joking. There's actual fireworks go off, and it's the ultimate. You've seen them, haven't you, online with the
The streamers open their packs. They make a big deal of it, don't they? They have like pack opening nights where they open all their packs.
Yeah, I used to watch KSI do it. Used to watch him do it. And they've obviously gone to a gambling expert and gone, what makes people come back and spend money and do this? And they have copied it to the T.
Yeah, but Eddie, most of these people playing FIFA are children. Like, I know there's grown adults like us playing it, but a vast majority of that audience is children. Where are they getting their money from? So my argument would be that they are probably using their parents' credit cards. So if you put a pack or two onto your parents' credit card, I don't check my credit card statement. If I'm using my credit card regularly, I don't check what's going on it, because I'm the only one that uses it. But if you put loads of transactions on it, you're not checking individually.
Especially, like when I go through my bank statements, I don't even look if it's not double digits. If it's like £5, I assume it's just a pint down the pub. If I bought loads of packs, I wouldn't even notice. You know.
So children are growing up normalized to gambling when it's not their money. So that's the problem with this, that it's dressed up as something else. It's got the glamour attached to it. You see your favorite streamers doing it. You want to do what they're doing. And it's normalizing gambling with other people's money. And that's not to mention the fucking impact this can have on some adults, because there's no real regulation over it. When FIFA says, oh, there's less than one chance of getting a star player or something, what does that make someone think? It makes them go, oh, okay, well, all I need to do is open 100 packs and then I'll get one.
Yeah.
That's what I had the conversation this morning with our friend. He's not a stupid man, but he's like, in his head, he's going, it's the self-justification thing, isn't it? It's like, how can I just? And I said to him, how does it feel after you've dropped a couple of £100 on like some packs on some players or whatever, even if you get a good player? And he said, it just feels empty. It feels really shit. Because you're just chasing that bit of elation. Yeah. So it's chasing that dopamine hit, isn't it? Like we all do in different ways, like on Facebook or whatever.
Or you buying every game that comes out. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That dopamine hit until I realize it's a shit game.
And then you get a dopamine hit from trading it in. So
yes, I do. Yeah. We're humans. We're constantly seeking that. And so there's no shame on individuals here. It's just an aspect of someone that it's just when it's thrust upon you, it's something that somebody can do. You could easily fall in that hole. Many people are addicted to gambling and can get many, many thousands of pounds in the hole on this. And this is dressed up as something else, and it's not regulated in the same way. And children are seeing this, and it's normalizing it, and it's terrible. EA are predatory. I don't mind, and I know what you're saying, Eddie, and I do agree with you that I'd rather the game was different, because I'd really enjoy playing Ultimate Team if you couldn't pay. I think that I'd really love that. And that's how I tried to play it 2 years ago, and so I could only play it for a certain amount of time before I was like, well, I'm hitting a wall now because I can't get any better. Everything's too expensive. So I would love that, but I am not so outraged by a pay to win game because I see it as it is what it is. But what I am outraged by is the sheer disregard for people that EA shows. Now, I'm not saying that a game like that can't happen and you can't buy things. I think that's okay. Like pay to win is okay. But there needs to be some real regulation around this and what people can spend, and they have to actively choose to do. Like, I know there is choice even as an adult, but there has to be more
around this. It can't go on like this. And I think countries are now standing up. Governments are standing up. You've got Scandinavian countries have actually, some Scandinavian countries have actually banned FIFA Ultimate Team. Like,
yes,
paying for it. You can play Ultimate Team, but you can't pay any money. Yeah. Like, and I think that is wonderful. Like, that is, but the problem with this is what the fuck would EA do? Because EA don't care about anything other than FIFA Ultimate Team. That's their main thing.
Yep. Yeah. And it is ridiculous. And I mean, I don't completely agree with you on the pay to win situation, but I do completely agree with you on this. I think unless it's heavily regulated, it is just predatory.
Yes.
And I don't think you can really argue with that. I don't think any of us are going to argue.
But I don't know what's going on then, because why isn't this being closed in on? Like, why we, like, if we've got an example of somebody that we know that is kind of in that hole with it, there are those out there. Like, they should have a system of recognizing this. Not everyone spending all that money is a streamer and earns that back.
Yeah.
Like, they should have a system whereby they look out for these people, they identify these individuals, and they even try to, even if it was email contact and stuff, just trying to get in. Something has to be, it's like all the gambling websites, they are constantly saying gamble aware.
And they have
when
to.
The fun stop. And I tell you what, FIFA with this individual as well, FIFA is not a fun experience. Like, the Ultimate Team, and as I said, and Eddie, I think you were quite similar in your thoughts on this, and to you mentioned the other modes and stuff, but as far as I'm concerned, FIFA is great until you hit that wall of your level. When you're at your level, it's then, like, if you're attaching your self-worth to this and you're playing at your level, it's just, I can't imagine how that would be, the ups and downs, like the constant, the winning, the losing. Like, you can never go on a winning streak, because FIFA is designed for you never to go on a winning streak, so you feel like you need to buy better players.
This is where FIFA is so clever as well, is you're never ever, because of the way the divisions work, as you mentioned, you're never ever going to be in a situation where you're winning all the time. Never ever.
Yes.
So you're always going to be chasing that team. And here's the funny thing. To get that perfect team is impossible. To go, even when you've got all the best players in the world currently, you'll go, oh, hang on, they've just released a new Maradona one.
Yeah.
So if I had him, I've just watched someone play. With better stats, a different position. I need that person. Let's be honest, even if someone did get that absolute perfect team, they'll still lose. And God, could you imagine the shit you'd feel if you spent 50K on this?
It's
and then
so
still
perfectly
lost.
Designed that, pun intended, the goalposts are constantly shifting so that you can never, as you just said, you can never go on a winning streak. Even the best people, the best team, they just go up the division, and then they're again in this really competitive environment. So at no point are you ever just consistently winning unless you're the absolute best. Like, it's an incredible design system they've got. And then the worst thing of all is that none of it carries on to the next FIFA.
It's disgusting, but it's also good, because if it did carry on, then those people that spent all that money are going to be amazing. But yes, I do understand that whoever spent, like,
soul-destroying. That is soul-destroying. Okay. Like that, it's and behind all this, there's a black market for bloody coins.
It's creating its own criminal ecosystem.
Absolutely, it's that weird. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, though, even with Eddie, when you made the point about the £10 extra to get 10 packs, didn't that immediately make you think of the scenes you used to get in TV shows where it's like the back alley dealer who says the first time's free?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, yeah, but the next time's going to cost you. And it is exactly that, isn't it? The price just goes up.
You know what EA do, Pete? When they release a new FIFA... And I don't know if this happened for the new one, but it certainly happened for the ones before. You could get the game. So if it released on a Friday, you can get the game on a Wednesday, but it costs you £20 more.
Ugh.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Like,
what a money-grabbing shit fucking cunt of a developer. You fucking villains.
Yeah.
Like, that is just...
I think, to be honest, I think we're going to have to revisit EA at some point, because I'm enjoying the level of anger both of you have for this. And I honestly feel the same way. However, I would like to draw us back to microtransactions in general, because I think you made a fair point with Fortnite and Genshin Impact, Warzone, etc. And that there is a difference between microtransactions totally and gambling EA monstrousness.
Yeah.
But so I think it's always fair to say that anyone should expect to pay to play a game. I think if you want to get into a game at that level, you've got to expect to be paying for it. Like, free-to-play games are normally small things. So I don't think in a game that's free-to-play, you can expect it not to have microtransactions. Agreed. But if money becomes a crucial element to advancing gameplay or attaining a competitive advantage, that's when I start to go, you know what? That's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good summary. I think microtransactions have a place. They do have a place. When they start to overburden a game, no, not so good. But in games like Fortnite, the ones that have really survived, it's not overburdening.
Exactly.
You could play it without anything.
Yeah. Well, and I can think of countless browser-based games that have been doing this for 20 years, and you could play it for free, or you could play it properly for £3 a month or whatever.
Absolutely. And Warzone, like, I love Warzone. Play it a fuck ton, just like Eddie. We haven't spent a penny. You haven't spent a penny, Eddie, have you?
Yeah, no, I haven't spent anything. And there are games out there that do it really well. Warzone is the perfect example. You can pay. You can fucking chuck thousands of pounds into it if you want. But there are only certain things that actually... like, they're all cosmetic. There are a couple of things that improve your game, but most of it is cosmetic. FIFA can do that. They can do, like, stadium improvements. They can do kits or whatever.
Yes.
But when it comes to... and this is where Warzone's actually done it really fucking well. They've gone, we can give you blueprints of weapons, but you can't edit those weapons to make them monster weapons. That's fucking brilliant. Why aren't all games... doing, I understand that microtransactions are needed, as you say, Ben. Without microtransactions, huge games that are huge, Warzone is a perfect example, wouldn't be as huge. And I do understand that, because at the end of the day, I haven't paid a penny for Warzone, and that's fantastic. What a brilliant experience this is. But when games take advantage of gambling and when they do the pay to win, I just think I think it's up to the developers, not the countries and laws. I think it's up to them more than anything to go, this is disgusting, we need to do something about this.
I think that's a great point, Eddie. I think the one thing I would say about Call of Duty, and long may it continue, is that FIFA has focused in on Ultimate Team because it earns them money, whereas Call of Duty has a multiplayer game already and also has a very good campaign mode. So all the things you said FIFA was lacking in terms of career mode, Call of Duty still maintain all that core game and then do their free to play on the side. And that is a great model, it would seem. Whereas EA just seem like money grabbing cunts.
A franchise that I used to fucking hate, Call of Duty, they can hold their heads high with this. And FIFA, who I used to fucking love, I've bought nearly everyone. Ben used to play it. Are let's be honest, as you said earlier, they're the villains here. They're major villains.
I think that pretty much covers the topic off as well, doesn't it?
Cool. Yeah, we're gonna get sued by EA today. I'm like, fucking hell.
I mean, to be honest, that would be the most deserved, and frankly I'd expect it off them just as an extra income.
Right, so we've got EA, we got Bethesda, who's next? Yeah,
they'll just form a queue, mate, it'll be fine.
Pop it on the tab, baby. Pop it
anyway,
on the tab.
If you are looking to get in touch with our legal department, you can contact it at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. But for now, I think I'll slip through the exit. So it's GG, guys.
GG, guys.
GG, guys.